12? Okay. So 2 Timothy 1, 1 to 12, it's page 1191 if you have a church Bible, and it should be on our screen as well. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Oh, I am in 1 Timothy. David. 2 Timothy 1. Thank you, David. Sorry about that. It is 1195 in the church Bibles, and it is 2 Timothy 1. And I do need my eyes tested, obviously. Should have gone to Specsavers. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. David. Let's pray for you.
Great.
Father, thank you for David. Thank you so much for who he is, a friend and a brother and a minister of the gospel. And I pray this evening as he shares, you would bring your word alive in our hearts. We would receive from him. You would anoint him by your spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I don't know, do you have anyone in your life who you long to hang around, long to be with? And you can want to be with people for all sorts of different reasons. You can like to be with them because they like the same sport. They like cricket. And you like cricket, they like cricket, you talk about cricket. And it takes quite a lot to learn to play cricket. I learned to play cricket as a boy, and you have to learn, I mean, it's a pretty complicated game, let alone the rules takes long enough. And then you go down cricket nets, and you learn how to bat, and you learn how to bowl. And then when you actually play cricket, it takes you all day. 5 days, if you play for England. Or you might like to be with someone because they're interesting and well-read. They just know some stuff. So I was thinking, you know, it's the sort of person that you like having on your quiz team, if you've ever been on a quiz team. You know. And there's a question. I had a question like, what in the periodic table do the letters HG mean? Someone on there is going to know the answer to that. Someone's going to know the answer to that, yeah. You know, the answer is mercury, okay? And you know, if you're the person, as I am, on the quiz team, who just goes, how do you know that? How do you remember that? I just never concentrated in chemistry at the best. I didn't know that when I was at school, let alone now. It's incredible. And what about this for a reason to want to be with someone? Because they are a passionate, spirit-pulsating follower of Jesus. Now, you might think that is a reason not to be around someone. Just imagine. And Paul writes to Timothy to tell him that he is called to be a spirit-filled, burning man of God. And that was spoken and prophesied over his life, and the elders of the church had laid hands on him. His grandmother had prayed for him. His mother had prayed for him. And Paul wrote to him to say, son, do you realize what you have in you? I think I had 9 points. But I have counsel in my life that told me I should probably narrow that down a little. So I narrowed it to 4, cleverly amalgamating them. So I've actually only got 2. So my first point is be intentional and bold. And my second point is be grateful and confident. See what I'm doing there? Yeah, you see. Number 1, be intentional and bold. You see, just like learning to play cricket, learning to do anything, great men and women of God, they don't just happen. Malcolm Gladwell wrote his now very famous book called Outliers, which talks about the 10,000 hours it takes to learn the guitar or be Bill Gates and know how to program a computer or whatever it is. And he said this. He said, practice isn't the thing you do once you're good. It's the thing you do that makes you good. There are no favorites in the kingdom. Timothy was as ordinary as you or I. But you see, he awoke, he discovered something, he awoke to something. In fact, in a way, it was drawn out of him. And Paul, in this letter, tells Timothy something very, very precious. He has the gift of God in him. He says, realize this. You've got the gift of God in you. God, the creator of all of the universe, had become flesh in the person of Jesus. And Jesus said, I've got to go away, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And Timothy is told, it's wonderful, he has the gift of God in him. And if you love Jesus, if you've received you, this is you too. And Paul says, but you've got to do something. The thing you've got into, fan that into flames. We have 4 fire extinguishers in our vicarage. I don't know quite why we have fire extinguishers in our vicarage, but we do. And this week, as I was thinking about fanning into flames, Mr. Fire Extinguisher arrived to service the fire extinguishers. And to be honest, we had a bit of a... Because fire extinguishers just aren't very nice, are they? They're just not very aesthetically pleasing. It's all right if you're a police station or a sort of hospital, but actually in the hall, it's a bit funny thing to have. So we had a big discussion about whether we needed a fire extinguisher. And we had are we going to have a fire? We're probably not going to have a fire, we could just... And on balance, we decided that we would keep the fire extinguishers. That was where we landed. But as I prayed about our church and your church and preaching this, that question for me was a question for the church. Are we going to have a fire, church? Are we burning with the spirit of the living God? Are we bright enough, hot enough, passionate enough, nutty enough, that when people encounter us, they encounter the burning light and power of the presence of Jesus? So they need a fire blanket. What are you lot saints at Holy Trinity? What's going on at Holy Trinity, Richmond? Have you met those people? Have you heard them pray? Have you heard the stories of the people who've been healed? Imagine being that sort of church. But how do you burn? Well, it says the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, it says, that God gave us, not gave Timothy. It's not for the special, special, special holy people in a funny costume and a hat. No, 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 no. The Holy Spirit is given to us. To us. Hallelujah. To be a Christian is to be born of God. The Spirit. John chapter 3, Jesus encounters Nicodemus and says, you must be. There are no non-born again Christians. I just sometimes wish there was an opt-out, because you think, oh, do I have to be? Sounds a bit crazy. Yes, you do. You know, when you're little and you go to a birthday party, very exciting. I had a birthday outfit. It was brown. This is the 70s. Little brown pair of shorts, brown shirt, short sleeve, tie on a piece of elastic. Off to a party. Really exciting. And you wake up and and when it's your birthday party, because birthdays are better than Christmas. Christmas is great. I know Christmas is obviously a very important time because Jesus is born. and we remember the incarnation, obviously. But apart from that, birthdays are brilliant. See, Christmas, everyone gets a present. Birthday, it's you. It's all over me. Jelly and ice cream, pasta parcel, musical chairs. And you open all your presents and it's always a bit of a letdown at the end of the... Isn't it? You've opened all your presents and you thought that, the Action Man helicopter was going to be the solution to everything. And you think, oh, it's all right. Bored now. Sometimes, though, a couple of times happened, the day after, you get a late present. Yeah, it arrives. Brilliant, isn't it? From Aunt Maud. You open it up. And it's always a bit of a disappointment. Largely because Aunt Maud forgot your birthday and she rushed out and bought you a set of, a golf tees or something. Imagine this. Imagine if when your late birthday present arrives, You open it up, and it's an Amazon gift voucher. It's got a special number on it, and it says, unlimited. Unlimited. It's got a little number. You just whop it onto your Amazon account. Whenever you go into Amazon, you can just buy whatever you like. A gift voucher. It just sits in a drawer. You can just get it out, put the number in. iPod mini. Golf clubs. Whatever your thing is. The thing about gift vouchers, I found one recently, is they're a bit of a non-present, aren't they? You get them, just think, £15 for boots, you know. And you put them in a drawer, and you think, when I'm in boots, I will redeem that. And then you forget about it, and then you find it, and you think, oh, I should have used that. That's now, it's now out of date. So annoying, isn't it? You go, that's an iTunes voucher. I could have bought something. And, you know, I think that's what most of us are doing most of the time with the gift of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. We're not drawing on his power. And that's what Paul needs to tell Timothy. Because you see, Timothy was a very timid man. He was young when he was, he probably became a follower of Jesus maybe in his late teens. The theologians love deciding that, we don't know, but somewhere. And now he's about 35. And Paul is desperate that he really gets this stuff, because Paul is writing this letter and he is nearly at the end. He's in prison. He's in Rome. He's in really, if you have Category D prisons and Category A prisons, he's in Category A Wormwood Scrubs on the tough wing. And in, I don't know, 2 years, he is going to, by church tradition, be beheaded for being a follower of Jesus. This is important stuff. And he writes to, and he writes to Timothy, says, you haven't got any time to sort of faff about being not bold. We had a family party where my mum organised a few relatives for a lunch last weekend. And so we went to the lunch, and one of our family friends was there, and she hadn't seen me for a very long time, and she was just reminiscing, and she said, "Oh, David, you were a very shy, little, quiet little boy." And do you know, I was in my teenage years. I was just hated going to parties. I just spent a great deal of time just agonizingly shy. And she then said an interesting thing. She said, "What on earth happened to you? Look at you now." And if I had had the verse that I now have in me to hand, I would have quoted 2 Timothy verse 7 back at her, which says this: "For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline." You see, we are called to be bold for Jesus. We are to be bold in expecting his power. We're to be bold about that. Because you're not going to do anything. You're just going to be used because he lives in you by Jesus. It's brilliant. So we went to a prayer meeting, and a joint prayer meeting with the other churches on Wednesday. And amazing night. And we prayed and we worshipped. And Terry Virgo wonderfully opened up the scriptures. And then we had some testimony. He said, "I want to pray for healing." And Verity, who's part of our church, pipes up that at the last time, which was a year ago, that she was prayed for, she was healed of the pain in her back. And she just gave amazing testimony. I said, the end, I said, Verity, what? Why didn't you tell me this? It's ridiculous. We've got to learn. You should have told me. You Sunday, get up and tell everyone about what Jesus has done. So she did, and it was brilliant and encouraging. And I'll tell you what else happened this morning in a moment. I don't know what point I'm on. Point two, I guess. Be grateful and confident. Let me ask you a question. What is the gospel? Over and over in our little passage, you see the word gospel. The word gospel, good news. What is the good news? Is it that I come to church, or that I read my Bible, or that I go up for communion, or that I pray or give money to things, all of which, by the way, are good things. But the gospel, in essence, isn't any of these. The gospel is this: that Jesus has done what you can never, ever, ever do. He's died for you. Jesus, who lived a sin-free, perfect life, willingly went to the cross. In your place, he died for your sin, that you may have eternal life. Let me read this. Through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, Paul writes to Timothy, who has destroyed death. You're going to die. I hope this isn't news to you. You're going to die. But in Jesus, Jesus brings life and immortality to light. How does he do that? How does this happen? Through the gospel. How do you move from death to life? Through the gospel. Through someone telling you about Jesus. You need Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Well, I don't know. Well, you need to. He's the creator of the universe. Every breath you have, every bit of beauty you see, everything was given and created by him. The Word has become flesh and dwelt amongst us and walked amongst us. And we crucified him. Oops. But he's risen. He's raised to life. He's alive. And he wants to make himself known. How does he do that? Through you. Through you. Through, and we read in our passage, through your testimony. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to go to theological college. You just have to say, someone prayed for me and my back got better. That's pretty cool. Tell someone about that happens. Tell someone that Jesus did that for his cool testimony. Told Verity, tell everyone. She will, actually. Or if you've just encountered his love or had an answered prayer, tell someone about that. John Stott writes this about this passage. He says this: God saves sinners in virtue of his own purpose and grace, and not in virtue of their good deeds. It is the undeserved freeness of the gospel, that offends. That's what offends. The natural or unregenerate or unborn again man or woman hates to have to admit the gravity of their sin and guilt, their complete helplessness to save themselves, and their indebtedness to the cross. This is what Paul meant by the stumbling block of the cross. You see, through his death on the cross, Jesus' death on the cross, and trusting your life to him, he makes you holy. You're not holy. I don't know whether you've noticed this. He has the holy life, but as you trust in him, he, boom, as we sang, far as the east is from the west, we've done it all, past, present, future, all dealt with. That means you don't have to be perfect. It means you don't have to be perfectly morally upright. It means you can have doubts. It means you can have a bad day. It means you don't always have the answer. Why? Because my salvation and your salvation doesn't depend on my record. It depends on his. Verse 9 says this, not because of anything you have done. That's pretty great news, isn't it? You know, it's ridiculous to think that any... what it was. You meet Jesus who died for you and go, hello, I read my Bible every day. Oh, wow, brilliant. Well done, you. Great. Well, stop you there. Let me tell you what I did for you. I died for you. Oh, that was enough. Oh, great, that was it. Now I want you to read your Bible. So anything that we do is never our justification. There are lots of things that we do in response. And if you're doing the stuff in order to hope that you're passing, you're wasting your time. It's miserable. You see, born again, spirit-filled, Jesus-loving Christians, we never tut. We never tut. You know when you hear someone's made a mess? We never go, called himself a Christian. You never, but have you heard what? We never do that. Not if you understand the extent to which you have been let off the hook. Someone makes a mess, you go, oh, mercy and grace, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so, you know, and they may have fallen into sin, they may have made a mess, they may have made a terrible mistake, but we never go, because it's grace, you see. It clearly says he has saved us. So what do we do essentially to what's being a Christian? It's saying, thank you! Man, thank you. It's all it takes. That's it. You know, the prayer in a summary. Boom, thank you, Jesus. Final point, be confident. You see, we have a gospel to share. And Jesus dwells in you. And I just want to encourage you to fan that into flame. Just fan that into flame. And you don't do it by effort, but you do it by intentionally putting yourself before Jesus, before the Holy Spirit, saying, help me, Lord, lovely. I want more, Lord. More of you. I quoted this to our church this morning, that I read it this week, that 3 million people, amazing this, would come to church, would come and hear a gospel preached if someone asked them. Amazing. It's not difficult, is it? You just say, would you like to come to just my, I've got these people we meet on a Sunday, we sing a few songs, we break some bread, pray a bit, and have coffee afterwards. Would you like to come? I'd love to, really? Are you sure? Yes, I've just been waiting for someone to ask me. Oh, great. They're slightly odd. Sinners, issues. They've all got issues. Church, sinners saved by grace. No, I'd love to come. I have issues too. Brilliant. I know. That's why I asked you. Great. I hope. And then you go to church, you say, oh, I hope they preach about Jesus. Nothing more frustrating than going to church not hearing about Jesus. I prayed a prayer this morning, and I'm going to pray a prayer in a minute. Just for all of us, just to come back to Jesus. You know, and you might never have understood the gospel, that you're all done, all good. And I prayed this prayer this morning, and a chap who's been in our church, he just did our Alpha course, and he came on the Alpha weekend. He's been coming, he's now bringing his wife, and when you become you newly love Christian, you know, and you, there's an opportunity to pray the prayer. You just want to make sure, don't you? You think, I prayed that. I was all constantly going forward whenever there was an opportunity to pray. And this lovely man prayed. I just prayed a very simple prayer of commitment to Jesus. And as he prayed the prayer, he'd heard Verity's testimony. As he prayed the prayer, he felt just, he'd had a really, really bad back for 2 weeks. And he kept telling his wife, I've got a terrible bad back. And she told him to man up and stop making a fuss. But he just prayed a simple prayer to Jesus. And he said, I just felt an amazing burning in my back, and I've been healed. I mean, I said, oh, I don't, we didn't even pray for that. That's amazing. He said, I know. He said, it's just, it's better. It's gone. Hallelujah. That's because, it shouldn't surprise us, because Jesus has risen from the dead, and he says he wants to bless and heal and change and give us grace. So why don't we stand? And I just encourage you to close your eyes. Just helps you not worry about what anyone else is doing. And sometimes it's helpful to just be in a place with your hands out, just to receive what the Lord's got for you. And I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer. And some of us, you know, will have prayed this prayer before, but there might be one person here Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved me enough to die for me. Thank you that you led the life that I could never lead and have a record that I could never attain. And Lord, I ask you to forgive my sin. Forgive my pride that I thought I could lead my own life. And Lord, I want to put you in charge. I want to call you Lord and Master over my heart, over my whole being. I want to rest in you. And Jesus, I receive your forgiveness and grace And I receive you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is received. You need to ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. Whatever, say, come, Holy Spirit. I want you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We're just going to wait. And the Holy Spirit just wants to remind some of you about the gift that burns in you. I just think there are one or two who that picture of just sort of not using the voucher. You know, you've been given the hospital. You got a home and you've been given the gift of hospitality. You just haven't cooked lunch for a while. You know, you've been given a prayer language, the gift of tongues. And when was the last time you cried out before the Lord with the groanings and wonders and praise before him? And Father, I pray over this church. I pray for fire to burn in this church. I pray that the collection of these saints, Lord, that you would fan into flame so that this church burns so brightly in Richmond that people, when they encounter the saints in this city from this church, that they'll need Rayburns, because they'll be burning so bright. Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit come, fall upon each heart. I pray for hunger, Jesus. Pray for hunger for you. Hunger to spend time with you. Hunger for more of you. Hunger for your word, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we open our Bibles tomorrow morning, that you would grip our hearts. It would be, we'd have to drag ourselves away from your word. I pray that. I pray for any who, for freedom, for any who've strived, any just think, oh, who've been living under the law of, this is, I really ought to pray, I really ought to, just the really ought to, we just banish that. In its place, we just say, Lord, I want what you've got for me. I want what you've got for this church, Jesus, we pray that. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Just going to invite the band to come forward, and if you would value prayer.